All right, guys, you want to say in your government's energy policy, you must be far right. You want to be critical of big pharma? You must be far right. You want a clear-cut definition of what a woman is? You must be far right. With all that taken into account, I guess I'm far right? Let's talk about it. What's up, guys? Welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. We've got Scott in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
And Taylor in Nashville.
Hey, I didn't realize I was associating with an insurrectionist today,
yeah.
But I guess here we are.
We're going to have a fun day today because we're all going to find out how far right we actually are. The metric for being far right, I guess the threshold, is getting lower and lower. And today we're going to start off with a story out of the UK featuring Sadiq Khan, London's mayor. But before we get to that, guys, please sign up for my newsletter and email list. It's in the link in the description down below. We just need your email. You'll get a personal update from me, plus updates about all the content we put out throughout the week. Now, let's talk about something that I just became aware of today, and that is the ULEZ or ULEZ in London, which we'll explain exactly what that is. It's the ultra low emissions zone, which is essentially a zone in London where if you have what is deemed to be a higher polluting vehicle, which really means any car running on petrol that was made after 2006, or any diesel car, I believe, made after the year 2014, which you can imagine is a lot of people in the London area and surrounding the city of London traveling in and out. You now have to pay a fee every single day that you drive that car within the ULEZ zone. Now, that fee in particular, I believe, is about 12.50 euros a day. If you are driving a petrol car made after 2006 in this ULEZ zone, or the diesel after 2014. So imagine how many people that affects. And just to give you guys who are listening in the US a bit of reference for what that means, that means you're paying $13.31 every single day that you drive your car within this area. So if you're working in London on a daily basis, and you maybe use your car to get to work, this is what you're paying, $13.31. Now, I did some quick calculating on my phone. I'm like, okay, €12.5 every single day. What does that mean in, say, a month? You're paying $375 a month on top of all of the fees and all of the things you already have to worry about to drive your car through this area. In a year, what does that mean? That means 4,500 euros every single year because of this charge that they've decided to put on people who are driving in this area. Now, as far as how many people this is affecting, they are planning on expanding this ULEZ zone into the greater London area to where it could affect 250,000 people on a daily basis, which is making them, I think, 3 million euros every single month off of these people, plus 1.5 million people that travel in and out of London on any given day. This blows my mind to hear. And of course, this initiative is being brought about in this area all because of climate. They want to reduce their emissions, and apparently London drivers are going to take on the sole responsibility for this initiative. Now, as you can imagine, people living in this ULEZ area, driving through this ULEZ area, are not happy about it. And Sadiq Khan was recently confronted with the idea that they're not happy about it, as many were protesting outside of essentially a town hall that he was holding. Now, let's hear his response and what he calls these people.
There are objections in 2006 when we banned smoking from public places, and there are objections now. What I find unacceptable, though, is some of those who've got legitimate objections joining hands with some of those outside who are part of a far-right group who are... Let's be frank, Let's call a spade a spade. Some of those outside are part of the far right. Some are COVID deniers. Some are vaccine deniers. And some are Tories.
Did you guys hear that? So the people who are outside protesting the ULIS expansion and saying, guess what? I don't care what political party you are affiliated with. I don't want to pay 12.5 euros a day so that I can live my life. And if they can't pay that, right, what are they suggesting? Buy a new car. Go electric. Go and get an electric vehicle, which is much like many of the initiatives that are taking place here in California and all across the United States, specifically in blue areas, as they're trying to push forward these environmental initiatives, in which the burden falls upon the citizens living there. So don't want to pay 12.5 euros a day? Just get a new car. It's as simple as that. And go electric. It's as simple as that. And if you protest, if you're angry about it, I'll just associate you with far-right agendas. And I will say that you are also associated with COVID denial and vaccine denial, and that you are a conspiracy theorist for not wanting to pay this fee that we're bringing about in the name of saving the planet.
Oh, so many things wrong with this. This reminds me also, didn't Justin Trudeau use the same tactic against the protesters in Ottawa during the pandemic?
Yes.
And he called them racist, people who are supporting them. He's like, many times they're racist. And it's like the same logic as the classic criticism of like Hitler drank water too. So if you happen to be on the same side of this issue, but I can associate you with someone who we all deem to be horrible, then, you know, then that's my argument. And it's just a silly, nonsensical way to just try to, you know, ad hominem people into being invalidating their opinion. And it's just a silly, stupid way to argue, and very just ugly tactics on his part. And you know, this whole topic is interesting because there are really big cities that take measures to try to decongest their streets. You know, we've all been on toll roads. We've, you know, seen just different punitive measures that's more expensive to drive than it is to maybe take public transport. But this goes beyond this. And it's doing it under the banner of climate. And this in a country where they have banned but developing new nuclear power plants, and they won't drill for oil in the North Sea that they have access to. And so instead of focusing on becoming energy independent or anything like that, it's no, let's just punish our citizens. And who has these older cars? Who has these types of vehicles? It's not going to be the wealthy citizens. This is punishing people who are in probably middle to lower class and depriving of and being able to just transport and earn a living, and all under the guise of climate change, when there are easier ways to fix this problem that you just refuse to listen to. So it's just a classic, on so many levels, wrong, and a classic example of just elitist nonsense.
And you know, it's profit. It's profit, 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 profit. And right now, if you look up what's happening in the UK with ULEZ, you'll see all these other corporations hopping on and saying, oh, we'll just, you know, get a car from our corporation, or use Zipcar instead of the car that you own and that you've paid for over, you know, a certain amount of years now, because we can just put in legislation that gets rid of all that and just tells you to buy a new car or to pay 12.5 euros a day. It just blows my mind. And I want to focus on the last part of the sentence that Sadiq Khan just said about the people who are protesting him. And the crowd erupted, and rightfully so, because they know what he's saying is wrong. And I would go out on a limb and say that many of the people in that crowd are not on the far right end of politics. And of course, politics is a little different in the UK. But he says here, some of those outside are part of the far right, some are COVID deniers, and some are Tories. For those of you unaware, Tories just represents the conservative political party in the UK. So he's saying, what, some of them represent conservative political beliefs, and that deserves to be lumped in with COVID deniers, being far right, being anti-vaccine. There's clearly some games that are being played here, and an association that's trying to be made, where if you go against anything that the government is putting forth, any policy, and specifically woke policies, because we know this is a woke policy, you're now far right. Which is why people like Russell Brand, who we'll get to in a little bit, is being called far right. Bill Maher is now being called far right for the things that he's saying. And I wonder, how long can they continue to get away with labeling people who are dissident to them as far right? How long is that going to stick for people? Because it worked for a while, labeling people like me, like Taylor, like Scott, like Russell Brand, like Joe Rogan, as far right and extremists. And people went, oh, okay, well, we won't listen to anything that they say. But that lie is not working anymore. People are starting to realize that governments are not working in their favor, woke policies are not working in their favor, and they're not associating that with being far right anymore. And they want their 12.5 euros a day back, which is a lot of money. I cannot stress that enough. That is insane. I cannot believe that this is being pushed forward and expanded upon. And it's no different than a lot of the other energy initiatives that are happening in other countries and a lot of the other environmental initiatives that are happening in other countries. We watched in the Netherlands as farmers went out and protested and barricaded as they wanted to lower their nitrogen and ammonia emissions. And basically wiped out a bunch of livelihoods in the Netherlands. And people said, wait a second, we get it. We care about the earth. We want to protect our land. I mean, we're farmers. Of course we want to protect the earth that we are profiting off of and harvesting from. But this is not the way to do it. And what did it end up being? A big government land grab, in my opinion. And I don't see very different things happening here in the UK. But I'm curious to hear from those who live there. Is this something that you are being affected by? Is this something that you are now seeing? If you're near London, are you paying that €12.5? And how is this affecting you? Because people are clearly angry, and it seems to me rightfully so. And it doesn't make you a far-right extremist to feel that way about it. Now,
someone in the chat real quick said, isn't Joe Rogan a Bernie bro? And that's exactly the point, is that they've gone so far in labeling everyone far right that it's become a meaningless term. It's the same way that we've overused and called everything racist in our culture now, to where it's made us incapable of actually identifying where real racism is occurring, because it's such a watered down term. It's the cry wolf effect, and that's basically what they've done. They've labeled and smeared so many people far right because they don't have the arguments and the facts and the data and the truth on their side to back things up. So what do? You just smear and you label. But it's gotten to a point where people aren't affected by being labeled with that anymore, because you're just not credible when you're the one using all those smears. You're just undermining your own credibility, and people can see through the BS now and realize that you just don't have an argument.
Oh, and actually, let me correct myself on something here. It's actually pounds in the UK, duh, and that makes it the conversion here actually $15. So I said $13.31 compared to the US. It's actually $15. So thank you guys for correcting me in the chat.
Even worse.
But wait, if you call now, it gets worse. Sorry about that. Little mental block there on that. But I don't know. I feel like this is not going to stick. It's not going to stick. Much like the push for electric cars here in California didn't really stick, and people weren't, you know, going, you know, I don't have the funds to convert and change and, you know, sell my car and get a new electric car. Do you know how much those run for around here? And also, your electric grid can't handle it. And, you know, the UK is also in the midst of an energy crisis where people who are running small businesses in the UK are getting thousands of dollars in energy bills. I could go off on this for quite some time. Anyways, I should say not thousands of dollars, thousands of pounds. I'm gonna remember that. Now, let's move on to another topic that if you have strong opinions on, I guess you're far right and you're joining the camp. If we didn't catch you in the first story, we're gonna catch you in the second. Here is Bill Maher talking about a drug known as Ozempic that people are now using to combat obesity. For those of you who are unaware, Ozempic is an injection that you can receive, typically used for treatment of diabetes and used for diabetics. Now, diabetics here in the US are now struggling due to an Ozempic shortage because celebrities elites, and just regular everyday people who want to lose weight are getting prescriptions for the drug Ozempic. They're even going as far as prescribing this to children, or at least wanting to make this a prescriptive measure for children.
There's a new drug on the market. I've been reading about this a lot. Ozempic. It's a diabetes drug that they are now using off-label to help you lose weight, and apparently it works. Makes your face fall off, but it works. Not fall off, but, well, fall off in the, in the vernacular sense. Yeah, I mean, it makes the face look very old. It, you know, it, but you lose weight, and people, are women are taking it. I guess everybody can. They're now prescribing it to kids under 12. Also, there are new guidelines from the American Pediatric Association. Gastric bypass surgery. You know, I got to say, I hate this subject. I don't want to ever be talking about obesity. I'm always the bad guy who has to tell the truth. But I'm sorry, the country is gaslighting me and a lot of other people with a lot of crazy bullshit. And I just won't have it. And the sad thing, this sick thing, is the doctors are going along with this new invented Orwellian world where there is no good foods or bad foods, where you can be healthy at any weight, where it's a disease. I'm not going along.
Ooh, what a loud thing there. No, he's absolutely right. And we talked about this because what initially started this surge in Ozempic and people trying to get a prescription for it, at least what we think initially started the surge, was Kim Kardashian, Mindy Kaling, Elon Musk talking about these medications that they were going on. One is Ozempic, the other is Wegovy. And using it to lose weight, and then people going, oh, okay, well, that's an easy fix, rather than the harder fix of diet and exercise and trying to make lifestyle changes that actually shift the way that my body appears physically, how strong my body is, and how healthy my body is. Instead of going the harder route, right, and doing that, let's just get on Ozempic. And who's there to grab you and hug you and say, yes, that's the best idea I've ever heard? Big Pharma. They love that. They love a chronically ill society. They love an obese society. Because what does that mean? That means here's a new drug for you. And oh, what another chronic illness is popping up and it's, you know, taking the world by storm. We need to do more research. We need to come up with another drug. We need to come up with more prescriptions for these people. And we need to make sure that they're on them for the rest of their lives. So yeah, of course, the companies that are creating things like Ozempic and Wegovy are over the moon. And why not? Why not look at younger ages to do it? Why not take a kid as young as 12 years old and say, yeah, let's put you on Ozempic. And if not Ozempic, let's give you a gastric bypass surgery, which is an article that we responded to a while back from American Pediatrics, where they said, you know, this is a chronic issue with kids. It's the environment that's hurting them, and I think we can treat this medically through surgical procedures and drugs like Ozempic for children. No, never mind using their formative years and their malleable minds to bring in good habits, talk about a good lifestyle, talk about what foods you should eat. No, let's let Big Pharma play mommy and daddy, and let's head in for an injection whenever we need one. That's what American kids are facing. And the obesity rates are insane. They're astronomical among adults and children now. So why is it that we are dealing with this solely, really, when compared to other countries? Why are the rates so high? It's because it's a profitable thing. It's not profitable for you to be healthy. And somebody else who's decided to point that out is Russell Brand, and he did so on his most recent episode with Joe Rogan. We're going to play the clip.
Rhetoric has become hysterical, and the horse medicine was the same. They had the option of saying, look, we don't know, that there's no evidence as yet that ivermectin is effective in these spaces because no one's trialing it, because there's no money in it, because science is a subset of Big Pharma and the economic imperatives that right wing. No one's doing experiments into natural immunity because natural immunity is not profitable. No one's doing those experiments are not being underwritten. There's no clinical trials for that because no one wants that data for vitamin D or for steroids or for all of the things that came out as ultimate ultimately effective once the profits have been gleaned. And then how can you expect to maintain the authority? How can you expect to sit behind those logos of CNN and MSNBC and claim that kind of piety and certainty? And the way that they were like outraged by it was astonishing, like a kind of a how dare you? How dare you have this credibility? How dare people listen to you? And I think that it's precisely because of a willingness to listen one day to a left-wing person, a right-wing person, some people with some crazy theories, some people talking about Egypt, some people talking about MMA. That's how people are now. People don't want that kind of centralized authority. It's over because of the way that technology has afforded people access to a variety of news sources, and a counter-narrative for any story can emerge almost at the same speed as a narrative. So now the price of authority is legitimacy. Authority has to be legit.
And now I just want to mention, I did not have that video on 2x speed. That's just how he talks. With a vocabulary of a god, my goodness. But there's so much there to unpack. Why are we not talking about natural combatants to obesity? It's not profitable. You going out and exercising, it might be profitable to, I don't know, some corporations that are out there creating gyms to LA Fitness and 24-hour fitness, then yeah, it's profitable to them, but it's not profitable to these big pharma companies, and it's certainly not profitable in the long term if you know what to do with your body, if you know what real health looks like, and you know how to maintain that through your lifestyle. Things like he mentioned, vitamin D, zinc, the I word, that eye medication that probably already got us demonetized just because he said it. These things are not super profitable for them. They don't cost a lot to manufacture. They're out there. The world is aware of them. They're accessible, or at least were accessible before this pandemic came around and people started waking up to what they could actually use. Natural immunity does not benefit them. You having a strong immune system that doesn't rely on injections or daily medications or Ozempic to keep the weight down does not benefit them whatsoever. And that's all right in a sense, because guess what? They're corporations. They're meant to profit. That's what their job is. But when you have a government that is colluding and working with these corporations and also turning a blind eye to what is helpful for you and what is good for you, then you have a really big problem. Because really, the government is the one who's supposed to go, hey, wait a second, what about natural immunity? What about telling these people that running every day or doing a workout every now and then or eating your greens and eating your fruits and veggies is going to help combat something like COVID? What about letting them know that? Isn't that kind of our job as somebody who's supposed to have the public's interest at heart? They went silent. You heard nothing about it. And is it maybe because they can make you compliant through the use of, you know, CDC guidelines and COVID regulations and telling you to wear a mask and telling you to be home? Why? Why doesn't the government step in and do something about this? They have a lot to benefit from you as a person just being compliant, listening to what it is they have to say, and just closing your mouth so they don't step in and do something, not to mention the money that they get from Big Pharma and the lobbying that they do with our politicians to where you need millions of dollars just to even run. And they're calling AstraZeneca and Pfizer and working with them in order to maintain these positions of power. There's a lot here at stake for them if you wake up and you learn what makes you healthy as an individual. Not to mention the fact that, what, didn't our current administration, this current president, come up and say, you know what, with the failure in education we're having recently, why not tack on 2 extra years of government-funded education? You guys remember that? That's actually a proposal that he put forth. So after they usher in a pandemic and you fall victim to that and you get locked down and your kids don't go to school and they don't get educated and now they're behind, now they can't read, now they can't do science, now they can't do math, maybe we should add 2 more years of government-funded education because it's servicing them so well now. Do you see? You know, I sound conspiratorial. I sound like freaking Alex Jones. Like, I need to put an aluminum foil hat on right now. But the math is mathing for me. The dots are connecting for me. I'm coloring in the picture. And the picture says that the government is working with Big Pharma in order to keep you compliant, quiet, and dependent on them.
People are going to be saying hashtag Amalep and Obi was right in a few years from now.
Yeah, you're going to be putting coins in the jar for all the predictions.
Yeah, it's you know, big pharma, big tech, these big, you know, multinational World Economic Forum type forces, big government, they step into the spaces that where we abandon common sense and where we abandon courage. And, you know, like in the pandemic, everyone got afraid. And so rather than, you know, demanding to see the data, demanding to see the evidence, and Joe Rogan and Russell got into this in their conversation, but rather than keeping their wits about them and saying, you know, okay, we need to figure out what are the best ways to deal with this. Are there cheap ways? Can we take vitamin D? Can we get sunlight? Who's this affecting the most? It's old people. It's obese people. What can we do to combat that? Maybe encourage people to deal with obesity, maybe protect old people and not have to quarantine the entire population. But people got scared. And because of that, stopped thinking and outsourced the responsibility to the authorities to do that, and to these big, you know, people who stepped in and said, well, I'll protect you, I'll take care of you. And it reminds me of something that Dennis Prager says, which is, you know, freedom is a value, not an instinct, and that people would rather be taken care of than have freedom. And whenever, and that gets exposed in more dire circumstances like a pandemic. And I think another dimension in which people do the same thing is whenever we've kind of gotten, you know, lulled to sleep and become addicted to our screens and addicted to comfort and addicted to just kind of this like a lazy lifestyle, where, you know, any sort of effort or discomfort is too much for me. And so what's the solution to that? Well, I'm not going to go work out. I'm just going to take a pill to lose weight, or I'm just going to scroll on TikTok rather than reading books or something like that, you know. So the government and these big forces, big pharma, all they step into the spaces created by our laziness, spaces where we check our brains at the door, where we become fearful and just stop being free thinkers. And I think that's what we try to do on this show, is encourage people to say, you know, make sure you keep your nose about you, so that when these things try to creep in, they have to pass the sniff test for you. And you need to have a strong sense of being able to discern when people are just trying to hand down, people in authority are just trying to impose their will on you and not really making sense, and demand that things make sense, and you know, trust your own brain over what you're being told by these corporations or big government and things like that.
Yeah, it's just such a wicked cocktail to usher in a crisis, create a set of guidelines to make people compliant that works along with all of these big corporations who are simultaneously profiting off of you, and where the government maybe doesn't profit in cash, although they do. They are profiting in compliance and obedience and dependency. And then if you go, wait a minute, I want to be independent here. I'm going to take care of my own health. I'm not going to go about the things that you're saying. And, you know, people who want to do that, you guys do it. I'm going to do something else. You're a far-right extremist. How dare you? And it's almost with every single movement, you can plug that in and see it happening. With the gender theory and stuff, they usher in a crisis. They create this problem. They get kids who fall susceptible to it. And they gain just traction through woke movements, and if you comply, you're left and you're progressive and you're doing the right thing. If you fail to comply, you're a far-right extremist. The same thing with energy in the UK, in the Netherlands, here in California, and probably across the United States here shortly. Don't comply, far-right extremist. Your health, you want to be healthy as an individual and handle that yourself? Far-right extremist. And let's talk about another arena where this is happening in, and this is a really taboo thing to talk about now, and that is mental health. I want to show you guys a trend board that shows trends in mental health problems among U.S. women and girls from 2001 to 2018, and Paul Graham here says it's so obvious that something changed, and we all know what it is. Just take a look. So these are trends for, these lines are for suicide, self-poisoning, major depressive episodes, and depressive symptoms. And just look at that uptick. 2012 hits and boom, we're way up. There's a lot of things that happen. I know a lot of people will hop in and say, well, it's woke culture and it's this idea behind victimization, which I do think there is, that there's that's valid in a sense. I mean, we see it all the time. If you go on social media, there's girls who are quite literally cheering on their mental illness. And Social media is another factor. It's quite literally being incentivized to identify with a mental illness, identify with victimization, and then you get tons of followers and love and support and affirmation, but not affirmation, the you can do it type of affirmation, the you can get out of this affirmation, the this is you affirmation, and we love this for you. We love that for you, girl boss. That's what you get when you post your mental illness on social media. So here's this trend for young women. And who would you think is just standing on the outskirts of this and clapping and laughing and cheering? Big Pharma. Let's look at the rate of antidepressant usage right now. The latest increase here means that the number of antidepressant items prescribed over the past 6 years has increased by 34.8% from 61.9 million items in 2015/2016 to 83.4 million items in 2021 to 2022. So that's not even counting where we're at this year. I'm sure the pandemic affected that in a lot of ways. Social media has affected that in a lot of ways. But Big Daddy Pharma's there to take care of you and give you a hug and give you medication to make you feel better. So it's just crazy. Again, I might sound like a conspiracy theorist, but the math is mathing and the dots are connecting.
Yeah, and with that rate increase that you just showed on the screen, you know, that graph that you showed right before ended in 2018. So add four more years onto that with the pandemic and just imagine how much more the slope is probably even continuing to increase. So it's just this epidemic of depression and being on antidepressants and all these other factors that just is making life a living hell for young women in today's day and age. And I wanted to ask Kamala, what do you think is a way that young girls and women can, what steps can they take to sort of take their minds back, take their mental health back? You know, I mean, obviously not asking you as a mental health professional, but just like, you know, I know you're doing the ice baths now and you know, people appreciate how you're a free thinker and all that. So I don't know, what are some thoughts that you have for the audience of how they can improve their mental fortitude and health?
Man, I don't know. It's hard because I don't know that I think it requires so much nuance, but in a general sense, just saying, disclaimer, this is just a general thing that I would say for young women who are watching right now. Log off. Log off for like, just give it like a couple days and see what changes in your life when you do that. Obviously, I do social media for a living. We do this podcast and stuff like that, but just see how it affects you. I find myself going on the internet and watching videos and then I feel disgusted afterwards, not because that's how I spent my time, although that is probably a factor in it, but because of what is present in these videos and what you are seeing on the internet logging in on any given day, just purely talking about social media. It is crazy the amount of negative energy that is perpetuated by logging onto social media for your body image with these things like filters, which we're going to cover next week in its own separate video. Seeing too many faces in one day, hearing from too many people in one day. I truly think we are oversaturated with information, with stories, with other people's lives, and your brain can only take so much of that. And unfortunately, it soaks up a lot of negativity. You're hearing people's sad stories, you're seeing fights on the internet, you're seeing other women talk about their mental health, their anguish, their problems, and just throwing it on the internet. And to think that we are not absorbing that, I think, is really naive, which is why my kids will be far, far away from this stuff in the future. But yeah, just logging off for a second and seeing what your life is like without it. Also, I saw a video the other day of this girl asking the question, who are you without your problems? Question I'm still answering? Question everyone should be answering, I think. If we are not victims, if we don't have heartaches and negativity and all of the things that are holding us down in life, what are we outside of that? And as soon as I have an answer for you guys, I will give you my answer. And maybe we'll do this collectively and try to answer that question for ourselves. And just taking responsibility, like Jocko Willink, what is it? Radical responsibility or something?
Extreme ownership.
Extreme ownership. Like, stuff happens. Life is hard. There's a lot of mental anguish and suffering. And the good part about it is going through suffering helps you recognize what happiness feels like and what joyousness feels like. So it's something that is necessary, but it's not something we need to identify ourselves with. And everyone, it seems, now will tell you the exact opposite. Identify with it, carry it, here's a pill for it if you can't take it anymore, and don't do anything for yourself, don't do anything to better yourself, let us handle that for you, and be comfortable. I don't know if that's any helpful advice, but that's just how I feel right now, personally. So take that with a grain of salt. It's just wild. I feel so bad for people growing up right now who are just being thrust into the world in this way and being exposed to this stuff without any knowledge of how it affects them. And they're just going through the roller coaster that is social media and life in the modern age, and will maybe never recognize the fallibility of it until decades later. Like, we're going to have a ton of research in a few decades, I predict, that shows just how shit what we're doing is right now. But that's decades from now. So
I think your point about the, you know, the question of who are you without your problems is so huge. And I think that, you know, from what I can observe of Gen Z, because even when I was growing up, it was, I feel like it was a little bit of a different environment where, you know, this victimhood culture wasn't as much of a thing. And kind of the just default mode as you're coming of age is, you know, who are you? And what is your positive vision of your life? Where are you going? Who are you becoming? And obviously that's amplified if you're in a good family community and have good influences in your life who can kind of challenge you in that regard. But this idea that, you know, victimhood has become currency. So instead of looking at who we could become or what we could be accomplishing, given, you know, knowing who I am is not just my identities or my victimhood and all that stuff, but who I am is, you know, the unique things about me outside of just identity markers, but my personality, my passions, my interests. Yeah. And how do you develop a healthy baseline of a human being so that you can move forward and project forward into the world and pursue the goals and dreams in your heart? And I feel like this generation seems not to be vision oriented as much as it should be. And I think that, you know, having a positive, hey, this is who, given who I am, given my passions, given my unique talents and abilities and everything else about me, like, here's where I want to go. Here's what I want to do. And mm-hmm. I'm going to go for that. And when you're moving forward, like you said before, you're going to have issues. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have things come up, but that keeps you focused and not just wallowing in it. And when that becomes your identity, there's the temptation and you get patted on the back now to just identify with your issues or being a victim of life or circumstances or whatever they may be. And it's not that you're not a victim, like everyone's a victim in some way or another, that, you know, whether it's society or, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can legitimately be a victim, but it's what do you do with that? And you can use that adversity to build on, grow on, that friction to be something that builds you and that you don't allow yourself to become defeated by. And that makes you stronger and a better person. And anyways, so I echo your point there. And I think that's a bigger factor because we can talk about the impact of social media, which is huge. But I think that underlying just vision orientedness is another just massive thing.
And I, you know, what was I going to say about identifying as a victim? There are people who even have that mindset and are like, you know what, this is not a game that I'm going to fall for, and still are being ruined by social media. And I walk, you know, sort of precariously along the line of giving any advice because I am in the throes of dealing with it myself. And that's something that I want to make very clear. I'm going through the same things that a bunch of other people are going through right now and trying to navigate that in real time. So I can only tell you what I'm learning about myself in real time dealing with this. And I think about, okay, I don't have this victim mentality of myself. I outgrew that. I went through it. We've been there, done that, washed it off. Hopefully it doesn't arise again. But even in going on social media, and think about a platform like TikTok or Instagram, where you're sitting on your phone and just scrolling through hundreds of people's lives all in what, a matter of like 5 minutes, you could watch, I don't know, like 10 videos in 5 minutes. You're watching somebody work at an ice cream shop. And then the next video is a girl crying about how depressed she is. The next video is a gender reveal party. The next video is a woman getting married. The next video is somebody crying about their kid dying. And your brain is getting all of this within a matter of 5 minutes and jumping around to all these very visceral emotions and moments. It can't be good. It can't be good. It doesn't really matter how positive the content that you are getting is. It can't be good to be doing that in the long term. And I feel like I need to do like a detox of this on my brain. And maybe we'll start that and let you know how that goes, guys, because this ain't it. This ain't it. I can feel this ain't it. Now, we do have to move on to other news because we have other things to talk about today. Hershey's Canada did a campaign for International Women's Day. And, you know, let's open our minds to this and watch the ad for this campaign. It's got 1.8 million views. Let's see.
My name is Faye Johnstone. I'm the executive director of Wisdom to Action. We can create a world where everyone is able to live in public space as their honest and authentic selves. See the woman changing how we see the future at Hershey's Canada.
Her for she is the tagline for this campaign. Do I need to mention the obvious? Do I need to tell you guys the obvious about whether or not that was a her or a she? Probably not, but here we are. And what I just said, it qualifies me to be far right. So we're 3 for 3 on today's show, being a far right extremist. Now, this drummed up a lot of controversy, of course, because we are just running full speed into the wall of denying, I don't know if I want to say the rights of women, but just basically the basic existence of women. So we now have her for she, where we have a biological male representing women for International Women's Day. You have Caitlyn Jenner, who wins, Woman of the Year? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I mean, you have biological men winning beauty pageants and surfing and fighting other women and walking into women's bathrooms and spaces. We have Ulta Beauty, who was hosting a show called The Beauty of Girlhood that was hosted by two biological males. It's just happening all across the board. So you ask yourself, what to combat this? Not that I want you guys to go and find a chocolate alternative, because we are talking about health and wellness on the podcast today. But if you are looking for one, Jeremy Boring has launched a chocolate company now. He says, fine, I'll do it. Introducing Jeremy's chocolate. Yes, it's real. We have two kinds, he, him, and she, her. One of them has nuts. And if you need me to tell you which one, keep buying Hershey's. But if you know what a woman is and love chocolate, go to IHateHersheys.com. So he's launched his own company there. And I mean, this is going to continue to happen, guys. As long as people have the capital to create alternatives to what you're seeing on the market now, they're going to create alternatives. And it's either A, going to bring about a somewhat of a parallel economy where we're just buying from our own little spaces and keeping within our own little boxes as far as corporations and companies are involved, or it's going to do what we hope the capitalist market does, create a little bit of competition, and then these corporations are going to wake up and go, you know what, maybe instead of virtue signaling, we should actually do what people want, and that is make chocolate. But Hershey's had to take, you know, in true dad fashion, they had to go for the dad joke. You've got her, you've got she in the name. Why not make it a trans campaign?
I don't know. I don't know that in their marketing departments that the people working on this campaign were a bunch of guys like me with dad humor that just thought it was a funny pun. I think there was definitely a ideological motivation by some blue-haired people in these marketing rooms that came up with this campaign and chose to have a biological male represent an entire campaign for Women's Day or Women's Month. It's just, you can't make this stuff up. But they are, like you said, creating a lot of space for non-woke entrepreneurs to enter in and give people the opportunity to flip the bird to the companies that insist on this woke virtue signaling rather than just, like you said, doing what they're made to do. So that's fun to watch and kind of gratifying. So good on Jeremy to give people the opportunity to do that. But like you said, I just wonder, you know, sooner or later you have to think they're going to hit critical mass. It's going to hit a point where the companies are just like, okay, it's not worth it to impose these ideological views on the entire country that we have access to, the entire market that we serve. Clearly half the market is not responding to this. And, you know, it's like Michael Jordan famously said, Republicans buy sneakers too, I think. Mm-hmm. And when is that common sense going to come around? When is it going to hit their bottom line enough for them to learn? Who knows? But in the meantime, I celebrate every time we have an opportunity to kick back against this stuff. So
yeah, because I guess we have to. I prefer that companies just did what they do and made their products. But here we are with Hershey's and Jeremy's Chocolate. Clown world continues. Guys, I gotta admit, I'm so close to being blackpilled. I am so close to being blackpilled. I sent Taylor and my boyfriend a video the other day of Russell Brand being interviewed, I think 10 years ago, where an interviewer is going at him and saying, you know, why do you have the right to talk about politics? You don't even vote. And he's like, why should I vote? This system is not supporting anybody. It's not doing anything good for anybody. He's like, yeah, I can still be a political person and talk about things that need to change and not be a participant in a system that is servicing nobody. And I gotta say, it resonated quite a bit. So much so that I think we should react to that video at some point on this channel. So I'll show it and get your guys' thoughts, because I used to be one of those people who was like, you know, if you don't vote, don't complain. But now, I'm getting close to just being like, yo, I'm going to sit this one out, because voting feels like participating in the facade. It feels like participating in the theater that they have created for us to just fight against each other and distract each other from what is actually happening and who's actually taking control of our lives. So maybe that is the black pill, and maybe I've taken it, but I'll keep you guys posted.
Would you say you've half black pilled?
Yeah, I'm half black boots. Oh, very, very true.
There's the dad joke.
That's where I'm at. There's the dad joke.
Yeah, see?
That's the one Hershey totally should have made.
I wish you would have made the connection between the pounds and the next story following about the obesity.
Oh, Scott. Oh. Should have chimed in. Yeah. Should have chimed in there.
Scott's an actual dad now, so these are coming to him easy.
These are actual dad jokes. But anyways, guys, let's get into Super Chats and see what you guys had to say today. All right. I've got a few of them here. I don't think I got all of them, but
I think I'll pull them up.
Taylor
the right
will
best.
Help me out. Okay. The Camilla Rose, thank you, says, isn't it worse for the environment to scrap cars and buy new ones? Like, the factories probably have bad emissions too. Also, make some think about collectible cars or old cars people maintain. Yeah, these are always things to think about. I don't know what exactly the metrics look like as far as the trade-off for getting people new cars and scrapping old cars and all these things, but it's always something to think about that, yeah, you're also contributing at the same time. And people don't know, when you're getting electric cars, to create electricity, guess what you gotta do? You gotta burn fossil fuels. That's what you have to do in order to put the strain on the electrical grid that they would be putting with these electrical cars. Not to mention the batteries for the electric cars and how those are made, and that how that punishes the environment in more ways than one. So there's a lot of conversation to be had. But I have not studied this. I don't know the research as far as what the trade-off is, because it could be a fair trade-off to where that would, you know, even out or be less harmful than staying on the cars that we're currently on. Not sure, but it is something to think about. It's like when those environmental activists were going out and burning tires in the middle of the road. It's like, okay, you are quite literally putting harmful emissions into the air as your form of protest. It's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
it's
I think an important question to ask also is at what cost? Because, yeah, of course, you could probably break even in terms of the trade-off there, but what will it take to get to that point? I think that's a very important question that people need to ask themselves.
Yeah, and like Taylor said, ignoring a really good option, which is nuclear. And again, not an expert on that, but it seems like a viable option. Okay.
It's too good.
Too good. Too good to be true. The Camilla Rose, another super chat, says $13 a day equals enough to get an Uber every day to work, which is why a bunch of corporations, if from what I hear in the UK, are hopping on this and going, just use our company to go to work every day because we're going to have these low emission cars and you can just sign up and pay daily to have a car take you. And it's another, it reminds me, reminiscent of in 2030, you will own nothing and you will be happy because what, you don't want to own a car? You don't want to have ownership over anything anymore? You just want to use a company to get to and from and, you know, get your government-sponsored food and kitchen appliances and your government-sponsored bubble that you live in every single day and you just own nothing because too many carbon emissions, which is what other countries are talking about. There's other countries talking about having these digital wallets that track your carbon emissions. So if you go to the grocery store and buy food that is high in carbon emissions, it's going to cancel out other things that you are able to do as a citizen. I hope we never see the day that that comes to fruition here. Matthew, thank you for your super chat. Wow, I'm actually obese, depressed, and medicated already. Big Pharma's dream, baby. We can change that. You know, we can do something about it. I'm going to give you positive affirmation in that you can do something about it. You can. Don't be Big Pharma's dream boy, okay?
And she doesn't mean Ozempic.
But not Ozempic, yes. Camilla Rose, thanks again. Hi, Amala. Hi, Taylor. Hi.
Hi.
Sup, my dude, says a friend of mine once said that I'm too right-wing. I replied with, I'd rather be too right-wing. Oh, too right than too wrong. Zing. Biatch.
All right.
Hey.
Sup, my dude, with the dad jokes, too.
Well, we got a lot of dad jokes coming through today. Love it. Alex Centellus, thank you for your super chat. Hey, Amala, the answer to Wednesday's question about why a girl would want her BF to be able to cheat on her is because she wants to know she has the best guy. What question was that? Why a girl would want a... So you're saying a girl would want a guy who's capable of cheating because it means that he's... high value.
Yeah.
That's weird. Thereof. I would love to talk to the woman who feels that way. If you're
a
woman,
about that girl who was like, I would only want to be dating guys who have slept with a bunch of girls.
Yes, it's probably about that. Yeah. Let's get any women who feel that way. Come on down. Get on the show.
Yeah, we did like a poll in the chat, and like 95% of y'all were like, no.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely not. Let's see. We got another one here. And Taylor, I hope you're keeping track of the new ones because I am in my screen.
I'm tracking the ones you're on, yeah.
Okay. Gaga Prodigy. I feel like me and Taylor are still in the talking phase. Taylor, is there something we don't know about?
I don't know. Maybe I just said that when I was on a long rant during the show.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you for your super chat. J-Man Rep says, I remember when Tom Cruise got a lot of heat for trying to warn people about Big Pharma. The media made him look crazy for daring to question, and we had no way of knowing the truth. I don't remember.
I remember that. It was like a Matt Lauer interview on NBC. Mm-hmm. And everyone was treating it. Maybe we should revisit that and react to it. That would be interesting. Yeah. Hashtag Tom Cruise was right.
You get called kooky, man. You get called crazy, hippie, kooky for saying, you know, maybe you should put your body in the best position so that you can rely on it.
I think that stems from the, like, Scientology, I know, is like super anti psychiatrics and psychiatric medicine. So I think, I don't know how much of that stems of Tom Cruise stems from his Scientology, but anyway, maybe they were right all along too. Who knows?
Yeah. I think I'm on Leah Remini's side on that one. Mankyla says, why don't people do physical work at work or home? I don't know. I imagine some people do, but a lot of people don't. I don't know how common exercise is. You know, this is where Michelle Obama, I think, did really something really great when she did her day of play and the, you know, get out and exercise initiative. And she was trying to get kids to like eat their vegetables and fruits and stuff and get out and be active. That was one of her main projects. We need to reinstate that. I would love that. We need Mr. Rogers and, you know, that Michelle Obama energy back. I'm not talking about her other politics, but just the get out and play stuff. Alex Centellus. I hope I'm saying your name right.
Centellus.
Oh, sorry. Yes, our polyglot. We have to. Centellus. Can't wait for you to be on the Whatever podcast. I think you will see firsthand what guys have to go through and how difficult it is to deal with women. Not all women, Alex. Let's make it clear. It's just those kinds of women. Yes, they will be on the Whatever podcast for those of you who weren't aware this Sunday night. You guys can check it out. Also, I'll be on Fox News tonight on the Ingram Angle. So you guys can see that. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, I think. Yeah, so check that out tonight. CRX Joe, thank you for your super chat. So just join the chat. You have great content. Keep it up. Thank you. We are trying. Curious Cannon, thank you for your super chat. Human evolution is slower than the speed of social media absorption and multitasking, very damaging to the brain and mental health. I think you're absolutely right about that. We've gone way too far, too quickly. And everybody knows it. You know who really knows it? China. Anyways, I'll just leave that there. Not gonna rant on that. Samantha Finch, thank you for your super chat. I manage over 100 people in their early 20s and 30s. The complexity of issues that you try to support without truly being able to. Walking it truth couldn't be challenging, but I'm thankful for the op. I'm not quite sure what you were saying there, but hopefully it was a compliment. Thank you, Samantha, for your super chat, but it did go over my head. Culture Fiend, thank you for your super chat. If gender is made up, not linked to biology, then ask, what are you when you stop pretending? Well, they would say they weren't pretending, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. There's no pretending. We are, what that old saying, I think, therefore I am. That's where we are right now. And you know what? In a lot of ways, that is right. What you think is what you are going to be. Just don't expect other people to.
You can also connect that to what you eat is what you are as well. Yes. You are what you eat, excuse me.
And hopefully it's not what's being recommended now for people's health and wellness, because that's a whole nother video. Whole nother video. So many rants today. Curious Cannon says corporations get into the LGBTQ trend just for money, and some in news have gotten hated on for it backfiring. You know, I think about this and I'm unconvinced that the LGBTQ trend in corporations right now is for money. I just can't think of where the money would be coming from. Most people who live in today's day and age are not members of the LGBT community. I mean, we have a 50-50 split as far as the ideology is concerned and what people support. So I don't see how advocating for a specific side gets you more money. Maybe not from consumers. We know we have ESGs and the government's involvement and all that stuff. Yeah. And I'm fully willing to think that they are getting, you know, different tax write-offs and credits and stuff for saying the things that they say. But it's not from the consumer base, I don't think.
No, and this is where you get into the, you know, academia to corporate influence pipeline and institutional capture, when all these, you know, the top tier positions at the top of these companies are all occupied increasingly by, you know, woke people who have gone to these academic institutions and kind of been radicalized in this ideology. And it's true in the most unlikely of places. Like I play the game Halo. That's like the one game I played since I was like 10. And so I've kind of kept up with it over the years, and I follow them on Instagram. And they just made this big elaborate post about Women's History Month. And they made all these like special armors and stuff that you can get in Halo that's Women's History Month. And before that, they did Black History Month. And before that, they did Pride Month. And the people in the game are like, this, your game doesn't even work. It's like broken in all these different ways, but you're so focused on pushing these, you know, celebrations of diversity and stuff on us that you're not getting anything actually done. So that's just one example. But, you know, I think that, like you said, it's, I don't know that it's profit motivated unless it's the ESGs, the backing of these like that own these companies, that own the companies that are incentivized to do this stuff. Sure. But I think the other thing is the people just pulling the levers are ideological and don't care and are willing to take a loss and not appeal to the broadest possible audience just because they care so passionately about these issues.
Came straight out of the universities and to the heads of these companies. By the way, Samantha Finch clarified, she was just saying that she is managing people in their 20s and 30s with all of the issues that we're talking about today. Yeah, that's got to be rough, man.
Good on you.
There's got to be so many excuses not to work today. I saw, was it Spain that is now giving menstruation leave? So you can take a week off for menstruation every month.
How about tummy aches?
Something
does
like that.
Does that count?
If you were misgendered, how many days do you get off?
At least one mental health day, 100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know that if that's for sure, but I'm pretty sure Spain is giving menstruation time off. Now I don't have any more super chats, so Taylor, you have to.
Okay, I got you. Stephanie Fonseca says, "No one says my last name the way you do, Amala. I love it."
I hope I said it right.
now I'm curious how you say it versus how.
No, I didn't see that one, so now I don't know how to read it.
Our Nixiality says, Oreos down in Australia have virtue signaled their support for Mardi Gras.
Huh. I wonder Mardi Gras, why.
I mean, okay.
Is that like they just think that's what it's American, so they put it on put it on their Oreos?
I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
I'll have to ask my boyfriend.
Yeah. Alex again says, I hope you did a lot of research for Sunday. Because you're going to have to be very unapologetic with those delusional women. Yeah. Stock up on the brain cells.
I don't think I'll have to do any research.
I hope you weren't going to leave your brain cells at home this weekend. Make sure you stock up.
I think we'll be just fine. I could be functioning at a 50% deficit and still do just okay. Fine.
Yeah. I'm going to tie half my brain behind my back and I'll still win this.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the Mardi Gras comment. And I see a lot of people in the chat talking about like Mardi Gras being Catholic and whatnot. And I think people are conflating what they see on social media and what happens down in New Orleans as it being a religious ceremony or something along those lines. And
far from it.
Couldn't be farther from the truth. That they're very loosely associated, but solely due to the French, Louisiana French culture that's down there, which was very, very Catholic when it was originally founded because of the French settlers that came down in there. But nowadays, it couldn't be farther from the truth. So don't conflate those two.
I've never seen a religious ceremony with so many girls with their boobs out before. Ever in my life.
You've never been to Jared Leto's island.
Yeah, right. That's religious. Okay. Next.
What else we got? Okay. Sensent says, do you fear death?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I did for a really long time where it was like so scary. And I would out of nowhere, just as a kid and as a teenager, get hit with this idea of an existential crisis, of course, and be like, you're going to die. What's it going to be like? You're going to be hopefully old. And just sat there in a mind loop to where I would just stop doing whatever it was I was doing, even if it brought me joy, and being like, I'm going to die. I have to think about this prospect. And now not so much anymore. I think it'll be fine. Not worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and for my LOTR fans out there, in the words of Eowyn, I fear neither pain nor death. And they said, what do you fear, my lady? And she says, a cage. Mm. Anyways, Matt says, y'all are my heroes.
Thanks,
thank
Matt.
You for real endlessly. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Zeke Sutton says, I kind of feel the same way on the voting thing. I have honestly never voted. And when I tried to, I got a letter in the mail saying my vote didn't count because of a mess up with the military and where I'm allowed to vote.
Yeah, so. I'm starting to feel you on that one. My boyfriend was initially the one who was like, yeah, why? Why would you comply with what's going on right now? And I was like, no, you have to. It's your civic duty. And, you know, it's supporting the system that serves us. And I'm like, now, bitch, where? Where is it serving me in any way, shape, or form? So I'll keep you guys posted on how that develops. But that's where
we'll have to go into a broader conversation about that.
Of course.
Because it's like, is there hope outside of, you know, revivifying the America as it should have been or the system as it should be? And, you know, what's the alternative to that? Because how soon are you in the position of like the BLM types who are like, we just want to tear the system down because it's altogether corrupt? And, you know, is there a way to redeem it or not? I think that's the question on which the whole black pill issue hinges.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about there.
Yeah. So Curious Canon says, let's ask the dead philosopher Seneca about virtue signaling. What would he say to the LGBT trend?
I'm not familiar, so I'd have to look into him.
He's like one of the Stoics, right?
Yeah.
Scott would know.
Well, we'll have to bring on a Stoic Scott's expert.
I would not claim to be an expert.
Chris Williams. CRX Joe again, electric cars are not good for the environment. Hydrogen would be by far better than gas or electric.
Hey.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I think Clear U has a couple videos about electric cars and whether they're actually like beneficial or how long it tactics for them to offset themselves on Prageru.com if you guys want to check those out too.
Yep.
Lara says, overweight and depressed, slowly changing habits, working out and eating better.
Love that for you. I'm on the same journey of working out and being consistent with it, which is so hard for me mentally because I'm one of those people who will take on a hobby and then as soon as I get, you know, 80% good at it, to be like, yeah, I know how to do it and I proved I can do it, out, on to the next thing. My gosh, I can't tell you how many things I've purchased for the sake of hobbies and then move on to the next thing. So finally putting an end to it. Okay. We're putting an end to it. We're staying consistent. So good for you, Laura. We're on the same page.
Absolutely. Great work. Bruce Ann Owen says, Amala, OMG, look at the tweets that Faye person from Hershey's has tweeted out about women. It's disgusting.
I'll have to look into that. I guess
there's more to the story there.
There's always more. Both call now.
Consider what that might entail. Yeah. Zeke Sutton again says, also, Pokemon Go did more for this country and Michelle Obama.
then Michelle Obama. Yeah. But there's also the added element of you're outside and everything, but you're like this outside. So it's better than being inside and like this. But come on, guys.
Mm. So you're saying they need to make a headset version so people
can oh, my down. Gosh.
In the metaverse.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Get us all on little treadmills running around chasing Pokemon. Paolo Ariente says, I have depression and anxiety since I am 16. Life without meds is hell to me. 6 unliving attempts, but I fully understand the point against psych meds.
Yeah, this is not to say that it's something for nobody to be on. But when you're looking at, what was that increase? From 34.8% to, an increase of 34.8%. That's insanity. And you could go out on a pretty strong limb there and say that there are millions of people on these medications who do not need to be on these medications. And I will put out there that the mind-body connection is so powerful. And this is not to speak to your personal situation, because I don't know about your personal situation. I can't comment on that. But while we also are seeing these massive upticks in obesity and chronic illness, it's no wonder we're also seeing an uptick in depression and anxiety and all these other mental health disorders, because they go hand in hand with one another. And it's taboo to say that. Like Bill Maher said, he's like, I hate talking about this subject because I know I'm going to get so much hate for saying it, but it's the truth. And we're getting in this one size fits all society where it's like sad, antidepressant, not feeling well, Zoloft. Here's an anti-anxiety medication. Here's Ativan to make you feel better. And it's just not the way that we should be looking at health going forward. And that's a massive issue with Western medicine that you don't see in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. Two things can be true at once. We're an over-medicated society, but some people legitimately have need of these medications. So, okay. Curious Cannon again. Thank you for your super chat. TBH, Amala handles her speech very well from what I've seen in front of opposing sides live in action. Sticks to facts and respect.
Try to. Thank you.
That's what
you.
We're all about here.
Try.
Chief Keefe says, Jeff Younger, child support, and Peter Zaihan for China.
I don't know what any of that means.
I think those are politicians. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Andrik Kateri says, hello, PU team. Just figured I'd send a chat to show my appreciation for all the content I've enjoyed. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you,
Andrik. Mara Knight says, my daughter's religious school threw a Mardi Gras party after mass and gave out beads, and I was so confused, but they explained the religious side. Still confused.
Hey,
I also thought boobs for beads.
That's
so
nice.
Who knows?
A lot of different interpretations, I guess.
And then I see one more from Curious Cannon. Wow, Curious Cannon, MVP today.
Active, thank you.
Just remember to anyone reading this, you are awesome, and any healthy change you make is courageous and proud of you.
Love it.
For it. Keep being you.
We love positive energy.
Keep, I was going to say that was the perfect one to end on, but we got one more.
We got one more.
from Anahata Sundarmurthy says, Dr. Vandana Shiva has been warning us about Big Pharma for over 2 years now. Now people are catching up to this fact. GMO foods, climate change on the heels of a global pandemic. Ugh.
Yes, this is Vandana Shiva, by the way, on my screen here. For those of you who don't know who that is, look up her videos, look up what she has to say. She is brilliant. She's done many a video with Russell Brand, by the way, which you guys can go and check out. That's how I became privy to who she is. And yeah, definitely one to look into. And she's been hustling for so long, speaking truth. And I didn't even know about her until very recently. And I'm sure there's many other people like that. So yeah, look her up. And a last one here from CRX Joe. Keep helping people. You're doing great. And that's a message, I think, to all of you. Keep helping people. You're doing great. We're all doing good. We all have special things to contribute to this world. So let's take that energy into this coming weekend. Hopefully you have 2 days off. If you don't, sorry about that. But spend this weekend trying to better ourselves in whatever way we can. I think I'm going to do a hot yoga class tomorrow, although they're brutal and they're killing me, man. I'm going to do that tomorrow morning. And yeah, keep on my normal thing. I'll see you guys on the podcast, on the whatever podcast on Sunday. And I'll see you on Fox News tonight if you guys are around and watching the Ingram angle. Also have some pretty exciting news coming up, but I'll tell you guys that stuff next week. Or actually, if you're signed up for the email list, the exciting news is going to be in the email newsletter. So you can sign up by going to the link in the description down below. And it's just a little personal update, work update for a big project that is going to come out soon. So guys, thank you so much for watching. Have a fantastic, positive, fruitful weekend. And we'll be back on Monday. Bye.